Acts chapter 8 this evening, we will be picking it up in verse 26. So Acts chapter 8, verse 26. What I'd like to do this evening, as we often do, is kind of read through this portion. It's a little bit of reading. It's not a tremendous amount, but it's a little bit. But I think if we go through it and then kind of break it down after we've gone reading through it, it seems to make a little more sense to us. You remember that we've just seen the interaction with Simon the sorcerer and how Peter interacted with him and some of the things that went on and how he really was kind of trying to buy this. He saw these signs and wonders and he was so enthralled with this, he was trying to buy in on the trickery of it and trying to figure it out. We remember that storyline, and we saw him, you know, being concerned because, you know, Peter really called him out on this and said to him, I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity, by sin. And Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. Again, sometimes our tendency in our Christian journey is to allow our relationship to diminish with God to a level of we're trying to get God to do our bidding for us. And so he's kind of going to be our genie and we're just going to kind of rub the lamp and get God to do, you know, bless our circumstance. And we're trying to really manipulate God. And I can assure you, God will not be manipulated by any of us. And so it's kind of a futile effort. So it's better to throw in the towel, if that's been your approach. Just confess it and just say, hey, you know what? That's not going to work. It hasn't ever worked. And so we see Simon kind of, you know, trying to, hey, just protect me, would you, God, from this horribleness or whatever. Instead of, sometimes God takes us through things, not always delivering us from things. Sometimes he carries us through difficult seasons, doesn't he? As many of us have experienced and know. Well, now we see a whole nother relationship experience that happens as we see Philip being caught up and taken to another place. Remember, he was taken from serving tables, remember, and taken out to this Samaria, right? Remember, and the Samaritans were not necessarily piled up with in good relationship with the Jewish people as a general rule. Remember, they were half breeds, and there was a lot of, you know, conflict and angst amongst them. Philip goes out there anyway, and now, verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And he who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Ashdod, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What a storyline is that? So, Philip leaves the comforts of, you know, Jerusalem, his home gang that he's hanging with and running with, leaves them, ends up out in Samaria. God does this radical work so that the apostles are hearing about it, and some of the apostles come down and get involved, and God's just blowing this thing up right and left. I mean, everybody in the city is starting to come to know Jesus. I mean, it's a radical work that was happening in Samaria. That's pretty wild. I mean, this is what all of us would dream of seeing happen. Our whole workplace, all of a sudden everybody gets saved. You know, everybody that we've interacted, all of a sudden everybody comes to know the Lord. I mean, these are things that we all would think of, oh man, that, well, could it be so, you know? Or everybody that, you know, listens to the radio station, all of a sudden we start getting call after call after call after call of people just coming to know the Lord. I mean, this is what, why you, as Christians, this is what we live for, this kind of thing. If you're not living for that, you need to start living for that. Because that's what God called you for. God didn't call you for you just to be, you know, doing your thing, whatever that is. God called you because he loves you, because he wants you to have everlasting life. But he called you because he's got a purpose and a plan for you to connect with other people about who he is. That's called the Great Commission, right? That's what we all want to be a part of that. And I just see Philip just exploding with this, you know, right and left. All of a sudden now he's caught up. This angel of the Lord spoke to him saying, arise, go toward the south. So he goes down in this deserted place. So think about this. He's leaving this happening thing that God's doing, that God's even used him to kind of birth and get going. And he splits. God tells him, yeah, cool, man. Now onto this next thing. And takes him to some other, whole other thing that seems, I would think, pretty obscure. Go down toward Gaza. Yeah, go out in the desert, you know, wander on the road down there. He comes across, as he went, you'll notice in verse 20, so he arose and went. It makes no sense to do that. Please note that. It makes no sense. That's important to note. We'll get back to that thought as we close out. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, so to get some context of this, what is this eunuch, this guy doing? He has this, he's a man of leadership. He's a man of authority in, you know, the queen of Ethiopia's, he has all charge over her treasury. He's an important guy. Now we read he's cruising in some chariot, but it's not the chariot that you might think of, you know, like, we start getting Ben-Hur pictures in our mind or something. We think of chariots or something, you know. It's not that kind of a thing. It's probably just, you know, some type of a critter-driven cart of some sort, you know, that's got, you know, some kind of niceties associated with it because he's an important guy, right? But, you know, he's not cruising by himself, I assure you. This guy's got an entourage. He's carrying some goods and he's got an entourage. So he's not just hanging alone. So you gotta get, because if we don't get this picture in our minds, we're gonna get the wrong picture, you know? So we gotta understand, Philip is just like any of us. And he's coming alongside, shows up out of nowhere on an obscure road and comes across this Ethiopian guy of importance. Now, what's he doing there? Well, he's been up in Jerusalem. He went there to worship. Why would he go there to worship? This is not an uncommon thing. All of the nations around have multiple gods, but Israel has one God. They're theistic, you know, one, only one, not multi. You know? And so this is a different concept. And this is a simplified relationship concept. That, wow, we could know God type thing. And so they end up wanting, different people get intrigued by this and want to come and learn and find out. And so he's come seeking. But this is the thing that's important. Man, I had never connected all of, this is all stuff I just hadn't pondered before. So maybe we can all ponder this together for just a moment. God is always, I will repeat that. God is always, always, no matter what your concept is, he is always the initiator. God is always the initiator. So now you have to think through. So I make a decision, you make a decision, we make a decision to give our hearts to the Lord. And we see this as such an independent thing that I've decided, and it is true, we have decided that. But God initiated something with you, something with me, to draw us, to get us to that place where we're interested in this. Something got planted in there, some idea, something was happening in you and me to get us to get to that place. Remember in the scriptures it says, no one can come to the the Son unless the Father draw him. You know? In other words, God is always, always the initiator. Always. And here, he orchestrates, just like he did for you and me, bizarre circumstances. Someone shows up at our workplace. Someone shows up on our ball team. We become friends with a neighbor. Who knows what it all was? It can even be simple things. Our grandparents, our parents, people that somehow spoke something somewhere down the line that just got stuck in our head. You know? But God is always the one that's going to initiate, and we are then left with the choice. Do I respond or do I reject? Do I respond to his invitation, his initiation, his hand coming out to shake? Am I going to shake his hand? That's really what it boils down to. And here, this grand picture is being developed as Philip is caught, kind of brought down to this place and ends up coming alongside this eunuch who's returning and sitting in his, you know, it says chariot, but it's really more like a cart type thing. And he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, this gets into another thing. Nobody just has a scroll like that. Not in that time period. Nobody's cruising around with scrolls like this. They were handwritten meticulously, not by laity, you know, not by just common folk. These are the scribes, the priests, you know, were writing these things out. I mean, it was a meticulous, tedious process. And you know, we're only heading into chapter 23 on Sunday morning. And we've been in Isaiah a while, right? And there's 66 chapters. You know, this is a lot of, you know, little jots and tittles, you know, and that's what it is. You know, you gotta ding, ding, you know, you gotta go wash your clothes because you came across this, and now you gotta go bathe, and you know, another couple of things. Ooh, I gotta go wash my clothes, you know. I mean, it's wild what they went. Not everybody has a scroll like this. This guy was able to acquire the Isaiah. So that's a big deal. Oh, let's take it one step further. He's literate. He's no schmuck. This guy can read. Right? So this guy can read, but not only can he read, he can read Hebrew. So this guy's an intelligent, sharp guy. He's cruising along. He's trying to understand what he's even reading. And now God brings, so God initiates this desire. Do you remember before even coming to the Lord, how, I don't know, at least for me, I had this really weird, like, sense to, I desired to worship. I can't explain that other than I just had a desire. There was such a void. I had a desire to worship, you know? I wanted to get back connected because I did know God at a point in my life, and I wanted to get back to that place of worshiping God. You know, it's hard to explain, but, you know, I think this is part of it. There's just this desire, and it's there, and then God orchestrates this circumstance. He initiates this, and now there's this opportunity. Then the Spirit said to Philip. So he's reading, and again, a lot of times, because you're looking at something, he's just reading it out loud. He's just trying to understand, so he's just reading out loud. This guy doesn't care who's listening. This guy's a guy of means and could care less what any of the other people that are. He's the head cheese in the cart, so, you know, he doesn't care, you know. So he's just reading. He's reading it out loud. And the Spirit says to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So now you think, now Philip's got to run alongside. These are not Jewish people. You have an idea. We talked about what the Ethiopian crowd was like. They were warrior people. They were, you know, very different in their skin tone. This could be an intimidating crowd for Philip to come across, right? I mean, you had to picture all of this, and he's probably got this entourage with him. But the Spirit says, hey, go overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him. He hears him reading. He's reading the prophet Isaiah and said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? Do you get that? You know? Now, let's get personal with this a little bit. Let's get personal. We need to be in the Word. We need to have the illumination of the Holy Spirit so that we can, spiritually intelligently. I don't mean just intelligently. With understanding spiritually, be able to ask that kind of a question. Do you know what you're reading? This guy's like, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asks Philip to come and sit with him. Obviously, he perceived this guy might know something that I don't know, because he's asking the right question. So asking the right question is important sometimes, isn't it? Ask the right question, you know? And the right question can be all kinds of different things, but he sensed the Spirit leading him to do just all of this. And the place which he was, remember, was in Isaiah there, and he talks about and he went through and explained that Jesus was like, he was the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was able to go through all of this and show him Jesus through all this. See, the important thing is, no matter where you open up this 66 books, that you're looking for one thing, and it's Jesus. Because we call it history, but it's his story, really. That's the best way to remember the whole Bible by. It's his story being told from Genesis to Revelation. All of it. It's all pointing to, it's all about the person of Jesus Christ. He does this. And you remember when we were in Nehemiah, and this was in chapter 8, we came across the first part of chapter 8. Remember, what was the first thing they had to do was bring the book. You got to bring the book, right? And the next thing that we found that they did after they brought the book, they needed to open it, exactly. And then they needed to read it, exactly. And so this is what happened. He's got the book. He's opened the book. He's reading the book. And then what happened after that? So they read distinctly from the book and in the law of God, and they gave, this is important, they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So it's basically giving the meaning and the sense of what is being said. It is not that we all have to be, Philip was not a theologian. There was no way for him to be one, right? He's not a theologian. He's a Christian. As a matter of fact, you remember, he was really a guy who was, you know, given the authority to help clean tables. You know what I mean? That was the extent, right? Remember, he was like in a deacon role, and then God called him out to do this thing, and then he ends up doing this evangelistic thing. Now he's hanging out with the eunuch, and he's giving this meaning and this sense. this understanding of what it is that's being said. And the eunuch answered and said to Philip, I ask you, of whom does this prophet? And then he explained. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He proclaimed to him who Jesus is as the Messiah. That this is all talking about him. That he was the lamb that was slaughtered. He was the one that, you know, he was the just taking the punishment for the unjust. You know, he went through all of this with him and explains this. As they went down the road, they came to the water, and the eunuch says, and again, I'm only showing you the only touch base just for a moment with Simon because it was a while back that we talked about. But in your minds or in your own quiet time, read back through Simon's story and then read through this one again and see the comparison of these two. Very different responses to the same information. Now, one was basing a lot of what his decision was on all of these signs and wonders that were going on around him, right? Remember? And a lot of his conversion, if there was a conversion, was driven by all of this hoopla, so to speak, right? But in this situation, we see it only being word-driven. And the reason I say that is because in Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith and my faith really truly are built up, not necessarily by just seeing the miraculous or experiencing this miraculous or this, you know, big hoopla-y stuff, but it is by being tuned in to the word of God and letting God build out his work in our lives. The reason I say this is because when you go back and you see in when the nation Israel was being delivered out of Egypt, when they were coming out of Egypt and heading toward the promised land. Prior to that, during that time period, they saw more miracles than any other people group has ever seen. And it continued for a while, just miraculous thing after miraculous. Have you ever stood there and watched somebody take a staff and hit a big sea and just watch the whole thing part? I haven't seen that happen. I mean, I saw it, of course. I've seen it on the Ten Commandments, but I'm talking about not on the cinema situation, right? I'm talking about just watching something like that happen. Now, I've seen tremendous miraculous things occur and happen, and I praise God as God does those, and I rejoice. I'm not minimizing the miraculous. I think it's awesome. But the truth is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Because when you go back and see what was the one issue, and I'm repeating myself, I've said this many, many times, but I will keep repeating it because, you know, even a donkey can learn from repetition. So that's the way I was taught. And so repetition's a good thing. But the idea was that even though they had seen all these miracles, the indictment against them when they came up to enter the promised land and they would not go in, the indictment against them, as you read through in Hebrews, is because they did not believe. That's why they had to go into the 40 years of wilderness wandering, and those had to die who were in disbelief. And they had seen more miracles than any people group had ever seen. So is it the miracles that, I mean, if that builds your faith, then they should have been like massive giants ready to take on everything, right? But it didn't happen that way, did it? So we want to stick with this and see, man, look at what's happening with this guy. This guy's really opening his heart. And it's just because the word now is being explained to him in a simple, clear way. And it changes lives. You know, in the early part of Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 1 even, where Paul said that the gospel is the power of God, you know, to transform lives, basically. And that's true. You know, that just the simple gospel message has the power to transform and change lives. Now, he notices as they went down the road that there's some water. And the eunuch says, you know, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He says, man, he's ready to take action. He's ready. He's not trying to buy some bag of tricks. He's not trying to figure out how to, you know, make some miracle happen. He's not trying to do any of that. He just wants to identify with this Jesus whom he's now encountering through this conversation from the Word with Philip. He's encountering God in a personal, real way. And he says, man, I want to identify with that. I want to be buried and resurrected. I want to be brought into this new life. And that's what the baptism is, right? It's the washing and cleansing, the identification with the death of the old life and the coming back up out of the water alive and new and washed and cleansed. I mean, it's a powerful concept and wonderful. That's really what it's all about. And he's saying, what would hinder me from doing this? And Philip said, and he gives him this, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says, yeah, you know what? I do identify with that. I'm willing to say that. And he commanded the chariot to stop, be still. Both he and Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Came up out of the water and the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip so that the eunuch saw him no more. Now, if I was a eunuch, I'd been totally, completely tripped out on that. But he went on his way rejoicing. Praising God for what God had done. Philip was now down in Ashdod, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And some 20 years later, in Acts 21, verses 8 and 9, we'll come across Philip again. And he lived there, and he had four daughters that were prophetesses, you know. So he stayed the course. He continued to train and disciple, and you know, he stayed even in the fruit of his own family, you know. So it was productive. It was awesome, you know, his example. In Romans, I want to read this out to you out of Romans just for a moment in chapter 10, beginning in verse 8. Because we're going to have this, a repeat of this that I think is worth noticing. In verse 8, Paul's speaking here regarding the gospel message itself. He says, what does it say? What does the word say? The word is near you in verse 8 of chapter 10 of Romans. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And the word of faith is the gospel message. That's what the reference is to. The word of faith is not your spoken word. That is a misconception and a misunderstanding. The word of faith is the gospel message itself. That's what he's referring to. He says, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you, and this word of faith, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a pretty simple, but pretty clear message. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and I think that's important as it's written there, the Lord Jesus. Lord is a title, it's not his name. Lord is a title meaning he is master. That means he is the one that is over our lives now, and that we are to now be then in submission and subjection to his lordship. So now when we're reading the word and we're taking this in, we're to say, Lord, what would you have me to do with that? See, we want to spend all our time just focused on the grace of doing whatever I want and God, me just inviting God to bless that. But that's not really the full understanding of the Christian journey. The Christian journey is really acknowledging his lordship. And so he says that really, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Very, very powerful. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God honors that word of faith when we are speaking out in relationship to the idea of I'm going to identify with that gospel message. And it is that simple. Now, why it gets more complicated sometimes, I don't know, but it is that simple. And that's the intent of it. I want to address just a couple of things so that we all have some things that we can kind of take home with us and think about before we leave tonight. And a few of those things are this. In this, we see, in my opinion, a grand adventure. I think it's a grand adventure. But I see a couple of things that are important to note in order to really be engaged in the grand adventure, in following the Lord. One, Philip didn't try to control all of his own circumstances. He allowed himself to be in subjection to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He allowed Jesus, and I might add, the third person of the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to emphasize this. It is three in one. There are three persons in the Godhead. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And though we speak about the Holy Spirit, it is important that we are acknowledging and engaged in a living relationship with this third person of the triune Godhead. Philip obviously was engaged in that. How can we see that? How would we know that? Well, in three separate spots, just in these verses that we've read, we find God speaking through an angelic being. I'm telling you, one, straight up, I would be freaked if that happened. To the best of my knowledge, I've not, other than my wife, I've not spoken with angelic beings, right? With the exception of her, that has not happened that I'm aware of. But other than that, I'm not saying that I haven't because I don't know for sure. But to the best of my knowledge, but see, this is written in such a way as that he's not flipped by this. He's been hanging around the upper room. Remember, right? The things that went on in the upper room. Those are some crazy times, right? With the Lord. All of a sudden, that's what it sounds like when somebody walks through a wall. Jesus just shows up, right? Right? Jesus shows up in the room. We would be freaked if he walked through the fuse sign right there. I guarantee you. If he's here, you know? He is here, and we know he's here. He is present with us by the power of the Spirit. He's moving in our midst. He's speaking to our hearts. He's assuring and encouraging us. He's affirming this journey we're on. He's speaking to issues that we got going on, and I know nothing about your issues. I try to know nothing about my issues, you know? But you know what I'm saying. In this situation, he's not free. That's almost like an interaction with an angelic is almost like kind of biz as usual for him, you know? Because there's no big note about it. I would say, oh, you won't believe this. I mean, to me, this is a grand adventure. I would have been like, oh, man. And then this other dude showed up. This was an angelic dude. And he told me to go over, you know, I mean, that's the way I would have written it. But, you know, this is almost like matter of fact. Yeah, you know, so there's an angel that showed up. Angel of the Lord, you know, he showed up. And, you know, it says, yeah, now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, you know, to me, this is like fire off the rifles. And, you know, I mean, this is a big deal to me. And then, but it's kind of just, this is kind of just life for Philip. And then the Spirit said to Philip in verse 29, the Spirit said, okay, this gets important. The Spirit is still speaking today. The Spirit is still speaking. But are we listening? There is so much white noise in our lives. Oh my. So much. It's hard for us to even focus on a one-on-one conversation. You know, just off, you know, I mean, trust me. It's a discipline. It really is. To try and just focus and then actually listen. Not just kind of think you've heard what God said. I'm talking about be engaged and listen. Try it sometimes. Quite an adventure. The Spirit said to Philip, so this Spirit speaking, but not only is the Spirit speaking, this gets important. Not only is his interaction with God just almost like, it's just like second nature, right? That's what I'm trying to say. But then we see this interface with the Holy Spirit in this way that is a powerful dynamic because he actually just immediately responds. Now, I would have to, I'm looking at the cart, chariot, and I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, man, that's got a lot of other people around. You know, you sure this is a good idea? I usually have as long as a discussion as God will give me to discuss something because I'm trying to, are you sure this is a good idea? You know, because sometimes he asks us to do stuff that's outside of our box. You think it caught up and all of a sudden you're out on the road to Gaza is like some normal thing? I mean, you get what I'm driving at. You know, so you're walking out of the coffee shop and, you know, God's saying, hey, you know, you need to just go up toward that car window there and just tap on it and just tell him this. You and I are going to think through that a little bit. You know, that's pretty freaky stuff, man. People pull guns on people for less than this, you know. At least around our town they do, right? So you want to be wise, but you know what? Look at what he does though. He immediately responds and does what the Holy Spirit says to do. He just responds. He's in connection with God and he's just flowing with what God's got him to do. That can be your life and my life. Even in our workaday worlds, that can be our life. And I'll explain that in a few minutes because I think these are some helpful things that will be good for us. Now, at the tail end of this, in verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. Off he goes. And now he's on another part of the journey. Now you and I read this and you, oh, come on, Pastor Jim, you really believe it went like that? I do. I have no reason not to. I've been hanging with the Lord a while. I've seen some wild things happen and I figure God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to do whatever he wants to do and that's up to him. Here's the thing that I would say that would maybe be profitable to us. And these are our thoughts to kind of take home and ponder and think through is this. In order to experience the book of Acts as we've been reading it, in order for us to embrace what is really happening and to not just see it as a fanciful story for others, but that God wants me to have a storyline like this in my walk with him, that God wants to move in all kinds of unusual ways that don't make sense to me, but God, you know, God wants to do all of that. There has to be this time in the morning where I spend a few minutes and I open up this word and I just read. Because what's happening is I'm tuning in. I'm opening up dialogue between me and God. After I open up dialogue between me and God, I talk with God maybe a little bit for a few minutes. Lord, you know, You really are Lord of my life, and I got a lot of plans for the day. But you know, I am open to you moving supernaturally through my natural life. And I would ask God that if your spirit wants me, if you want me to do anything or say something or interact with someone, would you make sure that I help me to listen? Help me to be, now all of a sudden you've opened up the channels for the rest of the day. Now there's this opportunity for this to kind of flow throughout the course of the day, for us to have this kind of, but if I just get up and blast out the door and just go my own route and I'm not, there's not really, the channels aren't open, you know? And then I've got to be willing to say, Lord, would you give me the faith to say and do those things that seem a little bit different? I assure you, I have said and done some things that are definitely different. And I'm sure many of you have the same, different stories, but the same thing as me. I mean, many, many times. And not, hey, I am no respecter of countries. I do different things in different countries even, you know? I'm talking about if the Lord puts it on my heart to say and do, I'm just going to do it. I remember one time we were in Japan, and I was in Kamakura, and I was just doing a little Bible study with a group that was there. Now, mind you, I don't know everybody that's there. So we're just talking and having a regular Bible study scenario. There's, you know, these are small. The churches are small. There's, you know, maybe a dozen people or so. And we're talking and stuff. And so I'm kind of wrapping up my thoughts, and I'm working with an interpreter. And, you know, so I just go, hey, look, you know, so I don't know really. I know a few of you, but I don't know a lot of you that well. And, you know, and I said, so, you know, if there's anybody here that's, you know, you've been pondering this, you've been thinking about this, you know, I just gave them the simple gospel. And two of them that had been coming for maybe 3 months or more gave their hearts to the Lord. The pastor, that he was freaked. He was like, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, we don't see anything like, but the thing is what if you don't? That's my whole point. I'm just rolling with God. I wasn't in an autopilot, like, oh, this is just what I do. You know, I mean, it was like, I really felt like, you know, I was uncomfortable because it was such a small little thing, and I really don't know, and I don't want to, you know, but the Lord, do you remember that, Lo? Remember that, the two girls that, you know, it's just we see things like this happen, and in different situations, you know, in all kinds of settings. My idea in this, or what I believe the Lord's idea, more importantly, is in this, is that you and I would be open and invite the Lord and say, Lord, would you just kind of lead me today? Man, I am telling you, you're going to come back even just between now and Sunday with such crazy things that God's doing. I'm telling you, if you really say that sincerely, God will show up. He is looking for people to use. He's searching for people who are available. But when we are so set in our agenda and our plan and our order of things and our, you know, man, we could so easily miss things. And I'm not talking about being irresponsible and not showing up to work. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just flowing in the natural day of things, but inviting God. Well, I'm working at the cash register today, Lord. Would you bring a conversation that you want to have happen? God will do it. Father, I thank you so much for your word, the truth in your word, the hope in your word. And Lord, that it challenges us, that we see these wonderful, and we're just getting on, there's so much more in Acts of these kind of just wonderful adventures. Oh, I'm so thankful to be partnered with you, Lord, and to just see you do such great things and to watch you move. And so many times I find myself with my back up against the wall and I don't know what to do or which way to go but Lord, it's the greatest place we can ever be, because strength is made perfect in weakness. Your grace is sufficient in those matters. And so gladly, Paul said, would I gladly then go through the infirmities and the sufferings and the trials and all of it, that your strength might rest upon me. Because when I'm at the end of me and I'm totally reliant upon you, God, is when I am the strongest that I could ever be. What a wonderful truth. And so, Lord, we want to live out our journeys with you in that kind of trusting faith. Let you just do great things. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. I ask that you bless them throughout the rest of this week. And just, Lord, would you bless Calvary Chapel and Fountain Radio, would you continue to pour out your spirit? Would you continue to meet all the needs, and would you continue to just change lives through the word that is being spoken, and not only here, but throughout the airwaves, and then through Living Fountains, which spreads around other places, and then through the internet, and everything that's going on, Lord. It's a fascinating thing. In Jesus' name.